the eighth incarnation of King Rispa, son of King Nabba and his wife Murudvi Deva. In this incarnation, the Lord shows the path of perfection, which is followed by those who have full control their senses and who are honored by all orders of life. The purport by given by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. The society of human beings is naturally divided into eight by orders of status of life, and four divisions of occupation, and four divisions of cultural advancement. The intelligent class, the administrative class, the productive class, and the labor class are the four divisions of occupation. And the student life, the household life, retired life, and renounced life are the four stages of cultural advancements towards the path of spiritual realization. Out of these, the renounced order of life, or the order of sannyas, is considered the highest of all. And a sannyas is constitutionally the spiritual master of all the orders and divisions. In a sannyas order, also, there are four stages of uplifting towards perfection. These stages are called Kutika, Bhavaka, Priva Acharya, and Paramahansa. The Paramahansa stage of life is the highest stage of perfection. This art of life is respected by all others. Maharaj Rispa, the son of King Nabba and Murudvi, was an incarnation of the Lord, and he instructed his son to follow the path of perfection by tapasya, which satisfies one's existence and enables one to attain the stage of spiritual happiness, which is eternal and ever increasing. Every living being is searching after happiness, but no one knows where eternal and unlimited happiness is obtained. Foolish men seek after material sense pleasure and a substitute for real happiness. But such foolish men forget the temporary so-called happiness derived from sense pleasures is also enjoyed by the dogs and hogs. No animal, bird, or beast is bereft of this sense pleasure. In every species of life, including the human form of life, such happiness is immensely obtainable. The human form of life, however, is not meant for such cheap happiness. The human life is meant for attaining eternal and unlimited happiness by spiritual realization. This spiritual realization is obtained by tapasya, or undergoing voluntary the path of penance and abstinence from material pleasure. Those who have been trained from abstinence in material pleasure is called dhira, or man undisturbed by the senses. Only those dhiras can accept the order of sannyas, and they can gradually raise to the status of paramahansa, which is adorned by all members of society. King Rispa propagated his mission, and at the last stage, he became completely aloof from the material bodily needs, which is a rare stage not to be imitated by foolish men, but to be worshipped by all. Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadada Shri Vasudeva Bhaktivinoda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. It's quite a nice verse when we're considering that today is the disappearance day of Sri Ishvara Puri. It's quite nice that we're actually talking about those that are really successful in their spiritual life. And what I'm going to do is I'm actually going to share some of my realizations when it's coming to sort of dealing with people. I'm also going to deal with one or two what we might consider to be ISKCON controversies. They're not controversies because Prabhupada actually mentioned them, and Prabhupada also told us how to deal with them. And sometimes we get a little bit confused between them all. So the first thing that I did was I was actually sort of looking, because I was told, remember to mention about the disappearance days, because we want to remember all these auspicious people and they appear and they disappear, and sometimes we don't really say much about them. And it's interesting that Ishwarapuri, there's not really a lot mentioned about him. It's quite an interesting one, in as much as it's almost a footnote. But it's quite a remarkable footnote. And there's an awful lot that we can learn by his example. So, he received the seed of Krishna Prema from Madhava Puri. And actually, he then went on to become the spiritual master of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Actually, he came from the Mayavadi line. It's quite interesting that way, Mayavadi line. So it got me thinking about the Guru Parampara. Have we ever taken a step back and actually looked at the different traits of all the different personalities within that? So we've got the uneducated, the highly educated, the young, the fit, we've got the infirm, we've got the disabled. So we've got everybody around the whole spectrum. I was trying to think, what connects them all? And I was trying to define devotion in one word, and I narrowed it down to three. I didn't quite get to the one word. And I wrote it down on a piece of paper. And every time I drive, and I've got nobody in the car, I try to give a small class on these three words. Sincerity, devotion, chanting. That was my definition of a devotee. Sri Ishwarapuri was very, very sincere. He knew where he come from. He knew who he was. But he was very, very devoted to his Guru Maharaj. Very, very devoted. Sorry, that's, for some reason, this is connected to the internet. Let's see if I can turn the internet off and then it should stop making silly noises. There we go. Unlike me, it's remembered the password for the internet here. I can never remember it. So it's very, very nice. He loved and adored his Guru Maharaj so much that when his Guru Maharaj became very, very ill, he actually served him. Most notably, he also dealt with all the bodily fluid and getting rid of it. This is the most intimate of service. And then he actually went on to remember and help his Guru Maharaj to remember Sri Krishna and Sri Radha at the point of leaving his body. And it reminded me of a purport that I read. And it was one that I read and I read and I read and I read and I couldn't figure out. And it took me ages to work out what Prabhupada was saying, because Prabhupada turned around and said, maybe one of these nice American European boys and girls will help me go back home, back to Godhead. Scratching my head, thinking, well, this is Prabhupada, pure devotee. He's teaching us everything, and then he's turning around and saying, well, maybe one of these will help me. Ishwarapuri gave the example. Because when his Guru Maharaj is leaving his body, what's he doing? He's helping his Guru Maharaj remember. And what did we see the disciples, Srila Prabhupada, doing as Srila Prabhupada was leaving his body? Getting, yeah. So he's engaging Prabhupada. So Prabhupada's remembering Krishna. If we remember Krishna at the point of leaving the body, we go home. Yeah? We go home. So actually, these American girls and boys actually fulfilled Prabhupada's request that maybe one or two, or three or four, I think there's a picture, a video, isn't there? There's about six of them around the bed, all helping Prabhupada go back. This is devotion, isn't it? That we take the words of the Guru and we really, really take them to heart, sincerely. Not for glorification, because Ishvara Puri isn't glorified. We don't glorify each and every single person that was there at Prabhupada's side when he left his body. We probably struggle to remember the names. But how glorious was their service? Yeah? Amazing service. So Ishvara Puri, very, 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 very humble. So much so that when he came into the presence of Advaita Acharya was busy doing deity worship. He was a sannyas. He didn't come in with great pomp and ceremony, "I'm a sannyas, please stop what you're doing. Do your bandavats to me." He came in and he just quietly sat down. Deity worship is going on, I'm not disturbing it. What's more important than doing dandavats? Worshipping the deity. He understood. And then he introduced himself, "Well, I'm just a lowly sudra." Right? Just a lowly sudra. Mukunda Dat, he wasn't really wearing that one. He knew exactly who he was. Yeah? Reputation precedes pomp and ceremony. They knew exactly who he was. They knew exactly his devotion, his sincerity, his chanting. He always loved to speak about Radha and Radha's pastimes. Right? This is devotion, isn't it? Is that we're trying to absorb ourselves all the time in pastimes, reciting these pastimes. The whole point of coming to class in the morning is to try to remember these pastimes. And he wanted to expose him for who he really was. What's the best way to expose a devotee? Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna. Immediately! Yeah? And he immediately fell down on the floor crying. So much moved. And then he started reciting the pastimes, and immediately he was reciting them with him. "We know who you are, you're not a sudra." Sannyas. And it's interesting that this particular purport that we've been given mentions about the different stages. So we have the four ashrams, we have, don't we? We have the nature. And then it actually, Prabhupada then mentions, well, actually, there's four stages of sannyas as well. And that got me talking about development. And development in Krishna consciousness. Because it's actually a very subtle process. It's something that takes time. To make a devotee means that we have to do something. We have to invest ourselves in that individual. So when we meet someone, we're actually almost signing up to a lifetime of helping them develop in Krishna consciousness. And it could be that the person surpasses us in their development of Krishna consciousness. It could be that as they're going along, we see them slowly taking stages back. Okay? There is no fall down in Krishna consciousness. There is no blooping in Krishna consciousness. There are steps forward. There are steps back. The idea is that we learn how to keep on taking steps forward so we don't take steps back. But what do we do if we start taking steps back or others take steps back? It's quite an interesting one, isn't it? Because we start off, most people start off in the Brahmachari Ashram, don't we? We come into the temple. Most people that come into the temple are still single. Yeah. Generally, rule of thumb, most people come in. And so what do they? They know nothing. Yeah. So they have to be held by the hand. Okay, Prabhu, this is how it works. Yeah. And we take them through the slow stages, don't we? This is how you chant Hare Krishna. This is the morning program. This is book distribution. Let's learn what's in the books, because obviously if you're going to go and distribute the books, you really need to know what's inside them. Slowly, 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 the person finds the feet. They find the service that they thoroughly enjoy doing. Yeah? Key, find the service that you enjoy doing and do it to the best of your ability. Okay? Make that a lifetime of service. Lifetime of service will mean that you will never take steps back. Yeah. And then eventually you get to the stage where you're actually helping other people that come into the movement. Yeah. But we're taking risks all the time, aren't we? We're taking risks that maybe the person won't appreciate what we're saying. When we go out and book distribution, we're taking risks that the person might not appreciate the book. They take the book and then they use it to light the barbecue. We don't know. What we hope is that they'll take the book and read it, or at least put it on a shelf and somebody else will read it. But we take a risk. We take a risk when we do Harinam. We take a risk when we introduce them to the Maha Mantra. They may or may not use it properly. They may or not use it wisely. But we take the risk. Why? For the one person that takes it seriously. Yeah, we're always taking risks for the one person that takes it seriously. Look at how many risks Prabhupada take. Yeah, for those that took it seriously. And then you go into the Grihastha Ashram. Yay! Okay. Well, that's stages as well, isn't it? Because you've got to do the courting stage. And then you do the initial marriage stage, and the first few years you might be on your own because there's no children, and you're still learning how to get on with each other because now you're living together and the person really annoys you because you didn't realize they did this. And then the children come along, and then it's another phase again, isn't it? It's, oh no. Now I have to deal with nappies and diapers and teaching them And then they get older, and then eventually, hopefully, you can get rid of them. Send them to the ashram, you know. That'll work. Prabhupada used to always go around into, you know, so please give me your oldest son. You know, so most people, no, I need him to marry, Yeah. Then we come on to Vanaprastha. And it's interesting that the Vanaprastha is almost this first stage of sannyas, this kutika stage. And it's interesting that Prabhupada actually mentions these four stages of sannyas. So basically, it's similar to Vanaprastha. You've given up your family life, or the wife's thrown you out. Most people get Vanaprastha forced on them. It's not a lifestyle choice. It should be. Yeah, dear lovely wife, I've served you so nicely. Can I go now and take Vanaprastha? And what does Prabhupada say? You go humbly to the wife, and the wife goes, no, you've not done anything yet. You know? Yeah. So this first stage is when actually they leave the home. And they build themselves this nice little cottage and lives there. But actually, in many ways, you're not accustomed to the begging. You're not accustomed to actually relying. So actually, you're still relying on the local community, the local family. Similar to Vanaprastha, isn't it? You know, so you leave home, and then the wife still sends out your lunch because she's made it for you every day for the last 40 years, and she knows that you can't make it yourself. Yeah? I've come to the body lots. Yeah? 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 It's a development process. Each one has its particular stage, its particular mellow. You know, so. And then the next stage is the Buddha stage, where it comes to the standing, well, actually, to be truthfully honest, I think I can manage on my own. I don't really need to have all this attention from the home. So actually, I'm going to give that up completely. And you start to beg. Then we have the preaching side, the Privacharya. And actually, this is preaching. Amazingly enough, Prabhupada didn't want anybody to go above that stage. If you've got to the preaching stage where you're just going around and you're sharing love of Krishna as a sannyas, that's as far as Prabhupada wanted you to go. He didn't want you to get to the Paramahamsa stage of sannyas, where you then put your danda down and you sit and you meditate. I've done my preaching. Because who does that benefit? We want to save the fallen conditioned soul. Every morning we say that we're full of compassion for the fallen conditioned soul. If we're not sharing Krishna consciousness, then we're not showing compassion. Right? Yeah? So we get to the sannyas stage. We've got a danda. Everything seems to be swimmingly going well. And then we hear that they've fallen down. No. Well, we can be certain then that the process doesn't work because this sannyas over here fell down. Right? How many people have heard that? Or words similar to that? Yeah? Yeah? No such thing as fall down in Krishna consciousness. We take steps back. So, what was Prabhupada's step back? What's Prabhupada's recommendation? If you fall down from sannyas, you step back to Grihastha. We step back to Grihastha ashram. And we take sanctuary of the Grihastha ashram. Yeah? And we sometimes see that, don't we, that people will take a step back. So what do we do? We're devotees, we're full of compassion. Do we treat them any differently? Do we mock them? Do we say how foolish they are? Do we then put them in their place because they're no longer sannyas, we can put them in their place? What was Prabhupada's recommendation? Never humiliate anybody to the point that they can't walk through that door. We treat them with the same respect. Yeah? We show them compassion. Because actually, we don't know, they could have actually touched the hearts of the one person who becomes the exemplary sannyas. We don't know who they've contacted. We don't know who they've initiated. We don't know how great they are. We don't know who they've touched. Yeah. So compassion is that we want to make sure that they have the safety net. The devotee is full of compassion for the fallen condition, so we give them the safety net. The safety net of the Grihastha Ashram and the love of the devotees. Yeah? If they're still qualified and willing, and their words are sound, we still like them to give class. If they're still an amazing kirtan leader and they're able to do that, let them do kirtan. If they're really good at doing book distribution, let them do that. Yeah? And that goes across the board. Whether or not it's a brahmachari who is coming along quite nicely, and the next thing we know, he's back to where he started from in the brothel. Yeah? They've taken steps back. What do we want to do? Make sure the door is open for them. Yeah? Yeah. One of my lovely god brothers, he did exactly that. And he going along very nicely, nice brahmachari, making nice progress, lovely book distribution, fantastic kirtanir. And then he met the woman of his dreams. The one, she wasn't a devotee, so, you know, I have to give that a miss. You know, his dreams. Yeah. I see Radha Kakulananda, Sri Sita Ram Lakshman Hanuman, Sri Gornitai. It's quite a nice story, in as much as he then goes off with this lady, and he thought everything was going swimmingly well, and she had a different point of view. And one day she wakes up and she goes and looks at him and goes, "Well, to be truthfully honest, you're just boring. Just boring. Can you go now? You're boring." So he goes back to the temple, and the first person he meets is one of the Matajis, and the Mataji sort of looks up, and she goes, "Oh," she said, "Where have you been?" And he's like, "Oh." And she goes, "I heard you were with some woman. We get you all the time, you know. Come in." Love and compassion diffuse. "We've missed you. Come in. Yeah, you've made a mistake. You've taken some steps back. Now let's help you to take steps forward." We should be sincere in our dealings with the devotee. Our sincerity is that we want each and every one to continually take steps forward. And if they take steps back, we want to provide the safety net. Yeah? Our devotion should be that we want to serve our spiritual master, our Guru Maharaj, as perfectly as we can. I can guarantee that every single one of us will do it with a flaw, because we're under the influence of material nature and we all have faults. If you want to find a fault in a devotee, I can guarantee you, you'll find it. 100%. Because we're all under the influence of material nature. Faults will be there. Sincerity means that we look at their devotion. They are sincerely serving their Guru Maharaj to the best of their ability. And they're chanting the holy names to the best of their ability. And this is the perfection. Yeah? Perfection of life. Prabhupada wanted us to be sincere and humble in what we're doing. And when you listen to the devotees, and I can remember one time I asked a Prabhupada disciple, what was it like? I was getting close to getting first initiation, and I was quite intrigued about what it was like to be initiated. So, best ask a Prabhupada disciple. what was it like to be initiated by Prabhupada? You know, so, you know, because he actually had the full fire yoga and what have you by Prabhupada. And I'll never forget his answer. It's remained with me. And it's something that I always ponder, because he looked at me and he goes, Prabhu, I know what you want me to say. That it was the most amazing thing that ever happened to me. That Krishna appeared in front of me, that suddenly the celestial angels appeared. To be truthfully honest, Prabhu, I think I was still stoned. He said, you have to realize we were doing some heavy stuff back then. He said, I was only in the movement for a week. I didn't think it got out of my system. I was still stoned. I was a bit, wow. Now what do I say? And then he pondered and he stopped. And he goes, but this was Prabhupada. Somehow or other, he saw something in me and gave me a chance. This is devotee. That we give the unqualified a chance to become qualified. We take the risk that at some stage they might start taking steps back. But it's a risk worth taking. We are a preaching movement. We are out there to get the fallen, conditioned souls. And they come with problems because of the conditioning. And some of the problems are going to trip them up time and time and time again. And you're going to have the odd devotee where you think, why am I here again? This must be the 20th time we've done this week. Yeah? But we stick with it. We show them compassion because we're sincerely trying to do our own devotional service. And the key is attentive chanting. Okay? Never neglect your chanting. Never neglect your service. Neglect one, you neglect both. You take steps back. And you'll find yourself in the position you were at before you started devotional service. How many people think that that's quite a good thing to do? Think back to how you were before you met the devotees. Ponder that. Is it a lifestyle you want to repeat? Yeah, there's difficulties in Krishna consciousness. We mentioned tapasya, four regulative principles. We mentioned four regulative principles to anybody, they immediately go down into meltdown. Yeah? I never mention the four regulative principles when I'm preaching. I mention about protection. We all like to protect ourselves. And it just happens to be no meat eating, no gambling, no illicit sex, no alcohol. People will plug into that. But the moment you introduce that you have to give it up, it's a regulation, it's to pass you, we have to give something up to be able to achieve, don't do that. As devotees, we understand the importance. When we're introducing people, what do? Slowly, slowly, slowly. When I first came down to Krishna consciousness, there was just Matajis. Yeah? Center that I went to, just Matajis. Okay? It was quite a long time before I met a Prabhu. I blame everything on the Matajis. They did a fantastic job because what they did was they spoon-fed. Yeah? So they found out exactly who I was, my nature, my cultural background, my views, and then slowly worked on them so that it became a Krishna conscious view. That the outlook changed, that it became a Krishna conscious outlook. And this did not happen overnight, this happened over time. So when we need new ones, don't stop forcing rules on them and regulations on them. Find out who they are. Find out how they tick. Find out their strengths, find out their weaknesses. Work. And slowly, slowly go on a journey. This is a science of self-realization, not other realizations. What we want to do is actually help them to become self-realized, so that they become sincere devotees who enjoy chanting. Yeah? So we take them by the hand and we take them on their own journey. And that includes their own steps back and their own steps forward. And we expect them to take steps back, we expect them to take steps forward. There is never any loss. Okay? All those that have studied Bhagavad Gita know that there's no loss. That even Krishna has a safety net for those that don't make it at the end of the day, those that don't remember Krishna at the end of the day, he still has that safety net for them. Even Krishna puts in a safety net. Because of the sincere devotion that they've done. 1 day, 2 days, 2 years, 20 years, 40 years, 60 years. Prabhupada says, Krishna remembers. What we want to do, though, is make sure that we've got a whole load of devotees around us. So as we take in the last breath, they're going, come on! Tell me about the pastime of. Don't forget to chant. So that our life can be successful. Prabhupada remembered this. Sri Svarupuri, he did this for his Guru Maharaj. As he's taking his last breath, got him to chant. Yeah. Chanting, life is successful. A life of devotion is a life that's successful. We have to be sincere in both, and our life will be successful. We need to be the safety net for those that are struggling, because one day we could be the one struggling. And the safety net, I can guarantee you, will catch you. But always make sure that that door is open. So anyone and everyone can walk back in. And a bit like when we return to the spiritual world, it's as if we've never been away. It's as if they've never been away. So that was my realizations, that was my pondering on this particular verse. So I now humbly sort of ask if there's any corrections, thoughts, meditations, or are we all fully satisfied?